So that that was an extraordinary gift. And then, as Noel was referring to, there was a during that period, and Noel and Fred were part of the board. Debbie, of course, was part of the board. Susan was still on the board at that time. And it was extraordinarily testing, particularly because the Sangapala had no money. Well, had if I remember correctly, there was $25,000 in the bank when the property was given to us. And then once it was heard that we needed to buy another piece of land nearby just to be able to get onto the property and to have water supply or power supply, then it became clear that this property here was ideal. But the owner had said, you can either buy it or forget it. I'm not interested in renting it. So Sangapala realized, oh dear, we've got to come up with some money. They thought, well, if we get enough for a down payment, that should be okay. Then we found out that banks don't loan to churches because it's very difficult to foreclose on a church. It's very bad press. So they get around that by not loaning to churches. So then, just to, not to go into too much detail, but what happened was a couple of large donations came in, and so that was encouraging. So then Sangapala had $40,000. But then there was a lot that was lacking, like another 180 or 200,000. And so then a Thai friend of ours said, "Well, I've got a business. I can give you an interest-free loan. Yeah, no problem. Just let me know when you need it, and I'll sign you over the money as a loan." Oh, very good. So then Sangapala went into escrow, and then a few months later, our dear Thai friend said, "Ah." Well, sorry, business is not so good. So, sorry, I can't give you a loan. So at this point, I was traveling as Lumpur Sumedho's secretary around Southeast Asia and India, going to various conferences and giving teachings here and there. This was the fax era. So Mark and Fred and Noel remember long faxes being written and received from all kind of corners of Southeast Asia, trying to juggle what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And it was very tense and difficult times. But for myself, during that period, it was testing. A, because I wasn't on the ground here, and B, because I didn't want to put people into very difficult positions, and large amounts of money were being spoken of. So it was testing, and I knew I tended towards idealism and over optimism. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You touch wood with both hands, you know. But there was also underneath that that kind of reflexive optimism, there was this kind of faith that don't panic. just hold steady and we'll see how things work out. These are good people, and you trust in the Dhamma, practice well, be honest, be straightforward, express your perspectives, listen to what other people have to say, and use the situation for your practice. To practice with it and not think of it as something obstructing the practice, but to deal with those feelings of uncertainty, of trying to meet other people's cares and feelings and concerns and so forth. And as it happened, then somebody who was considering entering into monastic life stepped up and who's in Thailand said, "Well, I was thinking about monastic life and I'm really sure about entering monastic life. And I just happen to have a house that I don't need. And I understand that you're trying to get this place in California. If it would be useful, I could put this extra house on the market, and if it sells, then you could use the money from that as an interest-free loan."
Really?
So, without trying to jump too much for joy, I said, "Oh well, thank you for that. That's very thoughtful. That's very kind. Let's see how it works out." And again, to cut a long story short, this good person went back to the States and they put the house on the market. It sold very quickly. The money came through and Sangapala managed to close on the escrow only 2 weeks late. It was due to close in the middle of May and it closed just at the end of the month.